to video is, I think that that's on everybody's mind. Libby, did you want to talk a little bit about the secure media network?
Norton and I can. We're in the very first steps of a project that we're calling, for lack of a better name at this point, the Secure Media Network, which would be a way to do preservation and access in one step, which funders seem to prefer. And so with obsolete format digital video, we've been digitizing into a high-quality preservation copy and at the same time creating a streamable copy that could be accessed more easily by computers. But it's in a format that would not be able to have any unauthorized copying or downloading. And the idea would be that while we have all of these, like New York Public's, which is the world's largest collection of dance, and we also have more niche or boutique-type specialized collections like ADF and Jacob's Pillow, which most people cannot necessarily get travel funds to go and use things there, that we could actually provide an assembled contribution of curated materials. And we're starting with the moving image because that's actually critical with obsolete format materials and of formats that probably none of you would even recognize outside of the archival community with all sorts of weird names. And so we're starting with the moving images and that particular problem, which was the big thing. But then we're hoping to be bringing in the ancillary materials that Phoebe was talking about. It's a cultural moment. How do we actually do more than just provide a bunch of YouTube-like assembled stuff that we just think are important, but provide, say, if it's going to be an Appalachian Spring, perhaps add some of the correspondence between Copeland and Martha Graham, which very few dance historians have even seen. Maybe a photograph of the Coolidge Auditorium at Library of Congress, which was the debut place. Maybe, you know, some photographs or even clips from more contemporary, so you can see how even physical training in a more contemporary time changes how the movement looks. Mm-hmm. So that's the hope, that it becomes, and that like way down the line when we get enough funding and, you know, sort of interest in this, that we could call this actually a Digital Humanities Center for Dance. And that's kind of a Council on Library and Information Resources little jargony term that seems to be recognized by funders, hence the term humanities. When people go, but it's research and dance. I said, yes, but to make money and to have it accepted as a digital repository, you know, they're calling it the Digital Humanities. And it seems as though this is one of the first efforts to get subject-specific work, as opposed to, say, California is trying to do online California archives, but it's really everything. Mm-hmm. And you know, this way, especially given the kind of eclectic way in which things are spread out, and also, you know, what is going to happen as certain artists decide to turn towards regional repositories, for example. How do we get those materials in? So we haven't solved all the problems, and it's really a very small start at this point, but we have 25,000 moving image records, and just taking 5 or 6 archives and the different ways that they put their records together and trying to find a way to kind of make these work together so that people can search them. That in itself was a challenge, and now I think we have a very baby step forward of 35 of the 100 digitized films are there. And you can go to archive.danceheritage.org to see this, but you won't be able to play the videos precisely because it's protected. So unless you were in one of the spaces right now with the IP address and password combination, you wouldn't, and that's how we protect them. But at least people can start finding some of this. But that's sort of where we are. I don't know, Norton, if you want to add something, but that's kind of our hopes and dreams for what's starting out.
Hmm. You know, it just makes me think of, you know, just I'm just kind of thinking from a choreographer's point of view of the hope and dream of trying to have something like that on a smaller regional level that artists can band together and kind of maybe find their own repository. I mean, I'm just the 25,000 blah just is so huge, but when you're thinking about, you know, 72 or or 312, or you know, some. I'm just wonder. I don't know how hard it is. I don't know what stands in the way when it's, once it's digital. I don't know if that seems like, yeah, everybody should be able to do that. But just what are other ways of just thinking, either regionally or what other kinds of pockets there are that would encourage collaboration of imagery and
well, we don't
materials
anticipate
or,
ever digitizing all 25,000. The idea is to really, for the moving images and the ancillary materials, we'd be curating selections.
Mm-hmm.
And OSU is a partner, so ultimately we would hope with Nina you might select some that you think for a national repository might well reflect some of your work. And but it's very expensive right now to do the preservation of just one videotape.
Right.
I think that that's probably
And the storage.
And
it's
the storage.
It,
yes.
It seems like it's the storage that's the problem or the digitizing. But
both
yeah.
are expensive. And the delivery, we don't actually, I think the delivery at this point isn't much, but it's the storage, the digitizing and the storage, right?
Yeah, and with the idea, of course, that digitizing is a one-time thing, but storage is going to go
it's
on and on
forever.
As long as...
And where are you guys with tagging the videos or anything? Does that need to be written into
it? At this point, we're using the metadata that's coming in, and we, you know, we just want to get a platform that we can even take out and get people to say what we want. In fact, we're starting a process with three organizations to get some feedback, NDEO for educators, Theater Library Association for curators and archivists, and then at APAP we're going to form three groups for artists of different sizes, shapes, and things to sort of show this and get some, so that we really have input from the sort of three constituent groups, the creators, the safeguarders, providers, which are the archivists, librarians, and then the users to kind of see, you know, and then try to bring them together and see.
You can see exactly where we are with the tagging,
yeah,
though, by going to that address, because that already, the metadata that is there, is there for anybody to see.
So it comes from different sources.
Right. At this point, we have five repositories.
And so
I think it's six ones coming in.
So it's the hope that you will come up with a controlled approach to the metadata?
Right, and the consultant we have for that actually had to find whatever he does to reconcile those, and he had worked with PBS with Kevin Core, because that was a good video metadata, sort of, and he sort of fine-tuned it.
Libby, do you want to sign in?
If I remember my...
Actually, I have a secret one.
Oh.
Okay. Let me see.
When I say tagging, I'm talking about within the video itself.
Right.
Because if we start doing that, we can attach it to the Raven notations.
Yeah.
And,
right.
And
that's
where our hope is,
that
we
can take that and get to other finding aids, you know, the kind of thing where, like, at Amazon.com, if you like this, you might like this.
So here's kind of a silly example of, I think, what Kathy is talking about with tagging. This is a tool that we've built at MIT that we're actually sticking into Zotero, which is an online citation a citation management tool that the University of or George Mason University has built. This is the Ajax XML encoder. Don't worry about the name. The idea, though, is that you're watching the video, you pause it, and then you can draw on the video and say that this is, you know, this rectangle refers to a lizard doing whatever. Whoops. So this is a kind of free-form tagging system. Like, you can say whatever you want about those individual pieces. In an archive, you might want to have what's, you know, a controlled vocabulary where you say, well, this is lizard type X that is performing action type Y or whatever. Anyway, let me jump back to the...
Can I just jump
yeah.
back
a little bit? Yeah, go ahead.
Again, what's the name of it? You guys are building it?
Yeah, so the tool is called the Ajax XML encoder, or AXE. It's that tool was actually a startup. AXE was a startup grant that we kind of built a prototype for, and then we're sticking it into Zotero right now. So almost all of the development effort, has gone into the Zotero integration, and that should be out in the next few months, I think, one of the next releases of Zotero. After that, I hope that we can put it into a kind of larger tool that we're building with a preservation and access grant called Tile, which so many acronyms, the text image linking environment, which is really about linking text and image, but I'm hoping to include video and that sort of thing relatively soon too. The video annotating tool, though, is fairly modular, and I hope in the next couple of months I can just pull that out of Zotero and put that out for anyone that wants to use it for whatever.
I have a couple questions.
Yeah, go ahead, Karen.
One is that I saw a bunch of people in Europe, and they're working with Routledge, I think, to put the Laban archives, to collect the Laban archives that are around, put them online and do tagging and so on and so forth. And that's already going on over there. They need money. And then the other thing is that I a few years ago I met with Atesh Sonneborn at Global Sound Project at the Smithsonian. And they're doing similar things with sound. They've got tons and tons of stuff online. You can just search for music from all around the world. And they wanted to do the same thing for dance.
Hmm.
And I just, that hasn't gone anywhere because, of course, there's money. But I wondered if you wanted to link up with the Smithsonian on this, because they've got some software that they've been developing as well, maybe to do tagging and searching and so on.
To digitize it. They have, if you go to Global Sound Project, it's amazing that they've got their entire collection. So that raised two questions from me, which is, I was also thinking internationally. When we were in Taiwan with Chord, they have just so much going on for decades already with digitized work. Plus, they're doing things, one of the things that stands out for me was a film of the reconstruction of 14th century Chinese court dances from Laban notation. I mean, basically, she did the historic work, the oral history work, created the Laban notation, and then reconstructed the dances, and then filmed them and archived them. So what are we doing to be in touch around the world with what's going on? That's one question. And then the second, and maybe they're related, so I'm going to pose them both, is, do you receive from the dancers or the choreographers directly? And if so, is there a selection process? Is there criteria? And I bring that up because that, again, is a place where the Laban work can fit in. Not so much the notation, but the Laban movement analysis can help to establish the kind of thinking for how we categorize.
Hmm.